You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Tiramisu. And I had tiramisu just the other night. We got kind of lucky. We're at Macaroni Grill, the family having dinner, and Victoria's birthday was like a week ago, I guess. So we hit it off with the waitress, and at the end I said, "So, do we get a free dessert with her birthday?" And she said, "Well, when was her birthday?" And I said, "Well, we were kind of celebrating it still from last Thursday." She says, "Well, I'm sure we could do something." So Victoria orders tiramisu. Now, does everybody know what tiramisu is? You know what this stuff's made of? Let me read you the ingredients. Tiramisu is an Italian dessert. It's typically made from ladyfingers, espresso coffee, mascarpone cheese, eggs, cream, sugar, Marsala wine, and cocoa. Anybody had this? I mean, nice restaurants usually have it in Macaroni Grill. Inside is espresso, but on the top, it's just covered usually with cocoa, just chocolate, right? I mean, if you hit that stuff all by itself, I mean, it'll knock you down. Now, whether you've known this or not, and I informed the waitress of this, does anybody know what the definition, what it means, what tiramisu means? It is Italian for pick-me-up. And it's not trying to get picked up by somebody. It's because it has espresso coffee, cocoa in it. They made this thing literally to be a pick-me-up. So when you ate this dessert, it would do what it's supposed to do. It jolts you a little bit. And if you've eaten it, you know it works if it's made properly. Now, dessert's one of those things, if you're like my family, I mean, maybe I'm just married, maybe I'm just alive, and this is just life, but I go in a restaurant and you sit down, or if you're smart, you get the menu before you get in the restaurant, right? You say, "Can we look at this?" You look at it, so this will be all right, and then you sit down and you go to order, and, you know, you're looking for chicken, right? Because chicken's the cheapest thing on the menu. You know you're at a really lousy banquet when they serve chicken, because that's the cheapest thing you can get. But when you're a dad, you got a wife, you got three kids, you're looking over this menu and you're checking prices. You're not even looking at the food on the left. You're going down the line going, "There we go, $9 or $6, whatever it is." And you say, "Now, what would that be? That's what we're eating today." Or if you're a dad, then you let everybody order and you figure out they've ordered way more than they can eat. And then you figure out, "Well, I hope they ordered something good because that's what I'm having for dinner because I'm going to have to eat the rest of this food." But everybody gets done. The waitress always comes with her pitch and says, "You know, does anybody want dessert?" Well, if you're a broke, you know, family with a bunch of kids, unless you got a kid's meal and you get that chocolate sundae with the cherry, you know, they won't want it, but bring it for me, you know. Unless you get that deal, nobody's buying dessert, right? But it's one of those things, it's a really nice thing. You can live without it, but it's a nice thing when it happens. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about another kind of pick-me-up that I think maybe we think we can live without, but I really don't think we can very easily, and it's encouragement. All right? And I'd like to start by reading a passage out of Matthew chapter 11. Let me just read in verse 1, and we'll just go through this story and then jump to some other stuff. "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard," and this is John the Baptist, remember that John the Baptist is basically a cousin of Jesus. I mean, they've probably grown up together, they knew each other. Jesus is God in the flesh. John the Baptist is the one that's sent a few years older than him to prepare the way, you know, and just declare that here comes Messiah, basically. "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him," now think about who's saying this and where John is. He's in prison. He is not in a good place. He's probably not just in a good place physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually. You get sometimes in a funk and you start questioning really basic stuff, okay? So here's his question. He sends two of his disciples to Jesus to ask this: "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now, he knows Mary's had this baby, born of a virgin. He has heard, he has seen. He's the one that baptized Jesus out there in the wilderness. I mean, it's not like John doesn't have some firsthand knowledge. He has seen the Messiah and knows it's him, but he is in such a bad place. He sends question, sends to find out, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now, how low do you have to get to be asking that question? Now, I'm going to tell you what, guys. If you live long enough, you're going to have some questions, and you may not be telling anybody, but you're going to have some questions. If God is for us, there's a passage in the Old Testament, basically the writer says, if God is for us, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? What's up with this? Jesus answered and said to them, so these guys come find Jesus, and this is his answer that he says to them, and hopefully word gets back to John. And this is what the instruction is. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. So these guys leave, and then listen to what Jesus has to say about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, now listen to where he goes, among those born of women, which there's not any other way to be born, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He says something so encouraging about John. And what I find fascinating is that even though these two guys left and they may not have heard what he said, Jesus didn't blast John the Baptist for having questions. He sent answers back saying, this is what you see and hear. Go tell him what you see and hear. And then the guys leave with that message, and Jesus goes on to say, you know what? Among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Now, if you're in a funk, and at some point you even get to the place where you say, you know what? I'm not even sure there's a God anymore. You know what? Has anybody ever gotten there? You get questions about something, my hand's up first, okay? So anybody going to be honest enough? Maybe you don't question there's a God. How many have questions about anything spiritual? No matter how hard you try to pack all this really neatly, somewhere along the way, if John the Baptist can get to some basic questions, you're going to have some. And the reason it is so important, as I'll read here in just a minute, for us to stick together and get together and talk to each other and pray for each other and encourage one another is that we all get there. We get in a bad place alone and we think nobody understands. Nobody knows where I am. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know, nobody knows but Jesus. But where is he? He's in heaven and I'm not sure even he's the one. So can he even help me? What's wrong with this picture and why is there nobody here to help me through it? Now let me read you some of these in Colossians chapter 4, first of all, verse 7 and following. Tychius, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort you. And the word here, by the way, comfort, the NIV, another translation, uses this word, but uses the word encourage you, encourage your hearts or comfort your hearts. And let me just read you this word parakaleo that's used, and I'm going to use it a bunch of times here interchangeably with comfort or encourage. And it means this, to call to one side, to call for, to summon, to address, to speak to, which may be done in a way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instruction. It also can mean to come alongside. It's used, the paraclete is what the Holy Spirit is referred to in John chapter 14. And Jesus promised that he would come, that he would come alongside. And the cool thing about this is that if you're walking with God, even if no one anywhere else says anything, you have the Spirit of God living in you, and when you get in the lowest place, he is there to comfort you, to guide you. And he'll use scripture, he can use other people, obviously, we'll see that, but he has a way of just his presence inside of you. Sometimes you say, you know what, he's there. And it is a literal tiramisu experience. It is a pick-me-up, not caffeine and cocoa, but the Holy Spirit of God, and you don't get it all the time, do you? I don't live feeling stuff all the time, and the reason I think we don't is we'd get addicted to that. And I think there are times in the Christian life, early on especially, when it's like fall in love. Man, you get this hit, this rush, just euphoria almost of, oh my gosh, I've been saved and God loves me and I'm going to heaven. My life's going to be beautiful and perfect. And anybody who's done this very long goes, oh my gosh, we better stay near this person because sooner or later, you know, the drug's going to wear off in terms of the feeling and they're going to have to learn to live by faith. And there are people who lose those feelings and go, where'd God go? He left me. And what he's trying to get you to do is to live by faith, not these feelings. And then when he knows you need it, out of nowhere, you get a hit. You get a pick-me-up. You get some encouragement. Somebody will say something. You'll read something in the scriptures. A book you read. Something on the radio, TV, wherever it comes from. Something out of nowhere almost goes, wow, God, that's like ordering dessert. You're taking care of me. It's a blessing that can literally come out of nowhere. So he says, Tychius, this fellow minister, he's going to tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. It's not complicated, is it? And you say, well, I don't know what I'll say. You know what? Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just show up. Job's friends, if you read the book of Job, were absolute idiots eventually, but they did one thing right to begin with. They showed up, and for 7 days, 7 days, they sat and wept and were with Job, and nobody said anything because there was nothing to say. Now, you say, well, I'm that person. Why didn't somebody show up in my life? Tell God that. Say, God, you know what? I need you, and I'm going to depend on you no matter what. I don't need anybody else but you, but you know I need more than that. I'm asking you to send me somebody. And you can't imagine how out of nowhere God will bless you. Now, here's how this works on the flip side. When you don't respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you may be robbing someone of the encouragement they're begging God for. I was driving down the road, and I don't know how to explain these things, but somebody's name popped in my brain, and I knew just like that. It wasn't a later thing. Oh, I'll call them when I get wherever. It was now. Pick up the phone, and I called this individual, and I said, you know what? I've had you on the brain, and I knew I was supposed to call you right now. I said, I don't know why I'm calling you. How are you doing? Just, I'm here. And we talked. I still don't know what the ultimate purpose was. My job is to do my job. You say, well, you're a preacher. You know what? Whatever. So you're a Christian. Don't be saying that's a preacher job. You're a believer. We're a body. We need each other. I can't call all you people. There may be somebody hanging on by a thread and a simple little email. Hey, not sure what's going on with you, but had you on the brain praying for you. Love so-and-so. How long does that take? Unless they put you in their spam box. They don't ever hear from you again, you know. A little note. I'm not great with notes, but you know what? They work on me. Nobody sends any mail anymore. You get an envelope, you know, you think there's money in there first, so you look for the money, and then there's no money. Oh, well, I'll read it. But when you just get a straight up note that says, hey, the thing we talked about the other day, or what you said, or something that happened, and you go, wow, this is so helpful, right? If it works for you, it's going to work for somebody else probably. Just little bitty things sometimes of encouragement. So here Tychius is sent for this purpose in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Finally, he just flat out says, I can't take it anymore. We've got to send somebody to make sure you're okay. Is there anybody in your life that you feel this strongly about? Is there somebody that if I say, okay, who is this? That if you don't hear from them for a while or you don't see them or you don't know how they're doing, you just can't take it anymore and you got to call them. You think, well, it's their turn to call me. You ever have that feeling? I'm not calling them anymore. I always have to call them. Why don't they call me for a change? That's called children. We couldn't take it anymore. We had to send somebody to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Now you say, well, I'm going through afflictions or problems. And he told them, he said, you know what? That's the deal. You were appointed to this. Don't be shocked by it. But I understand that you need encouragement, even though that is the deal. If we're going to survive the deal, we're going to need some encouragement. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. So he says, when I checked on you and we found out that you were okay, your being okay made us okay. Because you say, well, if you can make it, then I can make it. So this thing went two ways with them. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He's hoping this will happen for them. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Beware, now listen, he's warning them, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another, and here's the key word here, exhort one another daily. Now what are you going to do with that? Well, I go to church once a week. You know what? And you're barely making it just going to church once a week if you're doing that. A guy that I've known for years used to come to church, took a Sunday off, took another Sunday off, took another Sunday off, got busy. You know what? He's taken 9 months of Sundays off now. And this friend went to see him and said, well, what's going on? He said, well, I took one Sunday off, took another Sunday off, took another Sunday off, and here I am. And it just got easy not to go to church. You know what? He's adrift. It's not enough to even once a week it. At some point, you better be so connected to the body of Christ where you're helping other people and other people are helping you, what? Daily, every day, some reminder, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And this is what he's encouraging in the book of Hebrews here. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And I think we'd all go around the room and give testimony to the fact that we can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I promise you, I guarantee you, left to myself, if I am not in the scriptures, if I'm not praying, if I'm not around believers, anybody can get sucked back out to sea just like that. You say, no, I'm stronger than that. My will, my whatever. You know what? Whatever. Being a Christian doesn't guarantee that you're going to walk with God. What's going to guarantee that you're going to walk with God is if you're walking with God. And it's a daily choice. Henry Ford once said that the ability to encourage others is one of life's finest assets. The auto inventor and manufacturer knew the power of encouragement. He had learned of it as a young man. Memorable to him was the time at the beginning of his career when he had made a drawing of his newly built engine for Thomas Edison. Young Ford had endured criticism and ridicule. Most mechanical experts of that day were convinced that electric carriages would be the popular passenger cars of the future. But attending a dinner one evening at which Edison was present, Ford began explaining his engine to men nearest him at table. He noticed that Edison, seated several chairs away, was listening. Finally, the great man moved closer and asked the young inventor to make a drawing. When the crude sketch was complete, Edison studied it intently, then suddenly banged his fist on the table. "Young man," he said, "that's the thing. You have it." Years later, Ford recalled, "The thump of that fist upon the table was worth worlds to me." Someone simply saying, "Young man, that's the thing. You've got it." It is so simple. Now, some of these things are very difficult, and I don't know why they're difficult. I think some of it has to do with how you grew up and what you got. Now, let's just break it down here a little bit. If you lived in a house and had a mom and a dad who browbeat you, if you were wrong, you screwed up, they'd tell you that. If you did something right, you didn't hear much of that. You don't have much category for encouragement. I think a lot of things about people, but I hesitate sometimes to speak those things. And I have these internal battles, and I think, what is up with this? Why is it so hard to speak sometimes? Now, why is that? You're a manager, you're a leader of people, and you walk around like you're the boss. You know what? You want productivity, Criticism is not the ultimate motivator. Encouragement is a great motivator. People that you work with will go the 500th mile for you if you'll just say something every once in a while. Well, they're going to get a big head. You know what? The problem is you got a little head. All we reveal by not encouraging people is our own insecurity. Well, nobody said anything nice to me, so I don't have anything nice to say to you. It reveals something about my relationship with God. I need to get my ultimate encouragement and know who I am from God Himself. And if I am healthy, the healthier I am in my relationship with Him, the easier it's going to be for me to speak these things. Somebody told me this one time, one of the worst forms of criticism is a compliment withheld. Last one in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and following. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't forsake getting together. Let's consider one another. Think about somebody else for a change. And you'd be amazed the blessing that comes from you just spitting it out, whatever it is. Don't beat your kids up. Tell them when they do something great. You're the best. You're kind, not you just look pretty. You share. You love people. You're a great girl. You're a great young man. I think God's going to do amazing things with you. Speak things into their life. You'd be amazed. Think of where it takes you. If it works for you, then do unto somebody else what you want done to you, and you'd be amazed how your life and your world could change just in a simple tiramisu moment, a pick-me-up moment. God does it for you. You have the power to do it for somebody else.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for just the great encouragement it is to finally discover that you love us. And we've got so many things that we can come up with why you shouldn't. And even after we find out you love us, we can still come up with stuff why you shouldn't. And yet you keep coming. I thank you for the tremendous encouragement grace is. Just mercy, grace, forgiveness, that there's no end to your love for us. And I pray that as we are recipients of all that you are and all that you have given to us, that we will get not just full, but overflowing, and that some of this stuff will carry over to somebody else, and that we won't just haul around this treasure, but that we will be dispensers of it. And the more we get, the more we dispense, and the more lives are changed around us. Father, give us the courage, the faith to speak things, even if they're uncomfortable or awkward, or we're not sure they're going to come across right, or we just don't know how to do it, maybe. Lord, show us that we can learn and that we need to take these steps, not just for our sakes, Lord, but for what people are robbed of and how you want to bless people around us and encourage them. Father, help us not just think about this and pray about this and maybe someday we'll do something about it. Help us think of tangible ways this day to call somebody, write a note, go see somebody, go drive to somebody's house and just say, I came to look you in the eyes and tell you I love you and how much you mean to me and make sure you're okay. Whatever it takes, Lord, help us be your feet, your hands, your body, doing what you would do if you were here. And the fact is that you are here, so help us do what you would do and let you live your life through our lives. Father, there may be somebody who the encouragement today is they finally see that you love them and they know that they've screwed their life up and they can't do it without you anymore and they understand that. And they'd say, God, thank you for coming after me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, being buried and raised from the dead for me. That you're offering me the forgiveness of my sins, this gift of eternal life. I accept both as a gift. I know I can't pay for them. I believe, Jesus, you were raised from the dead. I want you to come live in and through me and change my life from the inside out. and be an encouragement to me, but also be an encouragement through me to those around me. Father, you're the best. Thank you for not giving up on us and continuing to use us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.